97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right, good morning to you. Welcome into the Mark Cox Morning Show. I'm not sure what I'm hearing in the background, right, but it seems like it's me. So that's probably my fault there, Ethan, not yours. I just want to give you that peace of mind.
That's all right. You threw me off there.
I opened up the Facebook page because when you reply to a comment on there, it forces you to open up the page, and then it was playing back through my computer, so I apologize for that. Glad you're with us this morning. We are live there on Facebook. We're live on Rumble, X, YouTube, wherever you would like to watch, however you'd like to watch, if you would, or listen on the radio, you can do that. Obviously, we're on the Odyssey app as well. Or you can stream us on the internet, 971talk.com. That's where the voter guide is. I'll remind you again, 2.5 weeks out, vote early. We had somebody from the RNC on earlier, and that's what they're telling people. Don't get trapped in, you know, trying to squeeze it in on election day and then finding out that there are lines because there are 45 things on the ballot and people didn't read it ahead of time, mm-hmm. and they're taking their time, and they take 45 or 50 minutes per person. At most of these polling places, there are maybe 15 or 20 places to sit down. When those are all full, everybody outside is waiting until all those people get done. It's going to take a while on November 5th. If starting next Tuesday, you can go vote in Missouri, at least, absentee with no excuse in person, get it done. Bank that vote. And then you don't have to worry about the possibility of missing out.
I guess nothing would stop me from doing this other than just the commitment of time. But I'm just thinking, man, if I could just print out a bunch of the sample ballots and go to some of these polling locations and hand them out to the people waiting in line and say, hey, fill it out now. Read over what's on the ballot. That way, when you actually get up to the front of the line, you already know. You know exactly who you're voting for.
Yeah. And they can print my ballot out. They can print my, not ballot, but my voter guide out. And you can take that with you. It'll help you on the big issues and the amendments and the big races for sure. Here's the other question. Is it legal to take a picture of your ballot? And apparently the answer to that is no, it's not. Did you know that?
I guess I've heard you can take a selfie. People will take selfies with their stickers, I guess, while they're voting.
Channel 2 wrote an extensive article on this yesterday, or they got it from their news source. I think it's a What was it credited to here? Let me look here. News Nation that said it is illegal to take a selfie with a ballot, according in 14 states, including Illinois and Missouri and Mississippi and Montana and Alaska and Nevada, and it lists them all there.
So why would that be illegal?
Well, because they're afraid that it could cause fraud. Some government officials have defended the restriction, saying they could lead to a host of problems for voters. Secretary of State out in Idaho said that he was worried that in the age of cancel culture, if a ballot were breached, people would know how other people were voting. There could be consequences. Jay Ashcroft told the outlet that the secrecy of your ballot ensures there cannot be voter intimidation. I'm not that worried about it. If I take a picture of my ballot, it's because I'm proud of how I voted.
Yeah, but Mark, you have guts. Let's be real. Not a lot of people have those.
Well, then
they
shouldn't be taking selfies of themselves.
Yeah, but people,
with their ballot.
People love selfies. That's the problem.
That doesn't mean you can't fill out your sample ballot and take it with you so that it doesn't take you as long once the voting starts.
Well, that was my point.
Yeah.
I did that last. I did it for the primary. I plan to do it again. And that's what I mean. Like, if people just had their sample ballot already filled out, you just bring that in and boom, 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 you're done in 5 minutes.
Yep. I think hopefully that's what people look into. Coming up, we're going to talk to Bryce Hill, Director of Policy Analysis, Fiscal Analysis at Illinois Policy. A couple of big issues on the ballot in Illinois on November 5th that you need to know about. And we're going to chat with him about that coming up here in just a couple of minutes. One of them is a big tax increase. You know, it's that whole your fair share thing in Illinois. Where they would, under the guise of reducing property taxes, they'd try to stick it in the rear end of billionaires or millionaires or somebody in the state of Illinois. That's always the answer. Let's drive the rich people out of the state. They'll all go to Florida. Then you won't have them anymore. It's stupidity. And they keep doing it. But they're trying to do that in Illinois. We'll talk to Bryce Hill about it coming up. But first, I want us to get to some of our top stories this morning.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
Back in my day, I was the wizard of the infield. Now, I'm a grandfather. That's why I'm voting yes on Amendment 2.
No, Ozzie Smith, say it ain't so. I'm so disappointed in the Wizard of Oz. Because he states a bold-faced lie that he's getting paid to say in this ad in favor of Prop 2. We're going to talk about that coming up.
There's a group called White Dudes for Harris, but I'm not worried about them at all because their wives and their wives' lovers are all voting for me.
Donald Trump was on fire delivering the zingers last night at that Al Smith dinner up in New York. We'll have more of that for you.
At the end of the day, I'm Trump because I my eyes open. I can see that he was doing a lot better than what we're going through right now.
Yeah, a barber up in Detroit, Michigan, telling the folks interviewing him there that he knows how he's voting, and he thinks a lot of other black men are voting the same way.
I don't know how many more elections I'll be involved with, and I'm too old to gild the lily. Heck, I'm only 2 months younger than Donald Trump.
I just looking at Bill, I'd say he's too old to gild a lot of things. He's not looking good. He's looking a little worn out, isn't he?
Yeah, he sounds like he's 90.
Put up a picture of him and Sammy Hagar. They're the same age. Sammy's a rock star who just celebrated a full concert in his Cabo Wabo Cantina in Cabo. And Bill Clinton can barely utter a sentence. And the only common denominator difference between them is Hillary Clinton. I'm thinking that's what a lifetime of Hillary Clinton has done to the man.
You have to compare him, of course, to Sammy Hagar. I'm thinking of Trump, who's about Bill Clinton's age, and that guy's whisking around the country doing multiple rallies in one day, different cities, several hour-long rallies. The guy is like the Energizer Bunny.
Out late last night, up early this morning on Fox and Friends. He was live. We carried some of that for you last hour. He's taking questions from viewers on Fox and Friends, and Kamala Harris, in the meantime, is nowhere to be found. She's the first presidential candidate in 50 years to skip that dinner last night, and she sent in some weak videotaped response because, of course, she can't perform live. That's exactly the kind of person you need as leader of the free world. Give me a break. Hey, quickly, because we are going to get to Bryce Hill coming up, I want to play you the rest of that that comment on Amendment 2 by Ozzie Smith. Listen to this.
It means over $100 million for Missouri schools and teachers, and no more broken promises. There's a constitutional guarantee that the money goes to our schools. And legalizing sports betting is great for us fans, too.
Yeah. The Cardinals are all in on this. So are all the major professional sports teams. I don't have a problem with professional sports betting. I don't do it, but I have a problem with it. What I have a problem is you lying about where the money's going. Ozzie Smith is telling a lie about where the money's going. Don't take my word for it. Even though I can read, I have a brain and two eyes, and you can read the amendment for yourself. It says, could contribute anywhere from zero to $28 million a year to education. They wouldn't put zero in there if zero wasn't a big possibility, because they can deduct so many things before they ever declare profitability. Very little of this money will ever get to schools. And it's a lie to say it's going to be $100 million. They're taking that $25, $28 million figure, timesing it out by 5 years and claiming it would be over $100 million. It's never going to be that much. It's a lie. And I'm so disappointed that Ozzie would do that and take the money. I just have to say, I'm sad that that they're spending that much money to deceive people. If you want sports gambling, just say vote yes on sports gambling. Don't try to lie and claim that it's going to help schools, because there is zero evidence of that. And News Channel 5, if you don't believe me, go look it up. They did their own fact check on this and reached the exact same conclusion that I did. So go over there and look for it. Missouri Amendment 2 story. All right, quick break. We will get to our guest from the Illinois Policy Institute and talk about a couple of the issues on the Illinois ballot coming up on November 5th. We'll be right back.
Follow Mark on Twitter at MarkCox971.
It's never too early to learn that the government is a greedy piglet that suckles on a taxpayer's teat until they have sore, chapped nipples.
Boy, and truer words were never uttered, particularly at election time, when greedy politicians are coming to you, not with bills, but with referendums. And a referendum is the political equivalent of licking your finger and sticking it up to see which way the wind's blowing to determine whether or not you're going to pursue that legislation in the next legislative session. Now, in Illinois, the Democrats have a supermajority. They can do whatever they want. They can make illegal aliens, they can make non-citizens law enforcement officers. Mm-hmm. So you could be arrested by a non-citizen in the United States who's been employed by some law enforcement agency in Illinois. This is the silly kind of stuff they do. Well, there are three issues on the ballot coming up in November that you need to know about. I want to make sure people aware of these. I would be a no on all of them, but they're all referendums, and one of them deals with, for example, property tax and the false belief that they're somehow going to reduce property tax by taxing millionaires. We've got Bryce Hill joining us this morning. He's the director of fiscal analysis at the Illinois Policy Institute, illinoispolicy.org. Bryce, good morning.
Hey, thank you so much for having me, Mark.
Absolutely. You know, it seems like whenever you and I talk, it's about some, whackin' any scheme that the Illinois legislature's cooked up. So I would assume it's the legislature that put this on the ballot. Is that correct?
Yeah, absolutely. The legislature is now asking. They're doing a non-binding referendum, which is exactly what you said. Licking their chops, trying to see which way the wind's blowing, and if Illinois residents dare slip up, they're going to seize the opportunity to raise their taxes. And the referendum we're talking about is going to appear on the ballot and it's going to say, will voters approve a 3% income tax hike for those making more than $1 million if the money is guaranteed to go to property tax relief? So it's a very conveniently veiled, disguised opportunity for the legislature to try to gauge the public's opinion on a tax hike, essentially. So that's what we're talking about today.
But then the Illinois Policy Institute finds that really wouldn't even make a dent in the money that would be needed to address that.
No, it wouldn't. If we were to enact this tax, it would raise less than $4.5 billion. The state needs to raise at least $4.8 billion to balance its own budget to be able to actually pay for things like pensions and its ongoing debt service to actually pay for the current year's costs. So none of those savings could be passed on to local governments and thereby reduce property taxes unless the tax hike is going to raise at least $4.8 billion. The most recent data suggests that this tax hike would come nowhere close to raising that much money, and therefore Illinoisans would be trading their constitutionally protected flat income tax, which is extremely important.
Yeah.
It's a guarantee that basically helps ward off tax hikes year after year. They'd be trading that for this false promise of property tax relief, which property taxes are a major issue. Unfortunately, this measure just wouldn't do anything to cover that burden.
So, Bryce, I mean, I've read through it. Is there anywhere in the bill, because I know sometimes those things are lengthy, is there anywhere in the bill that says if you have a $400,000 house, we would provide you with $500 a year in property tax relief if this passes? Or are they just vaguely saying if you supported this, it might relieve your property tax?
That's exactly right. It's the latter. There's no language suggesting that there's any sort of lockbox or that there's any
guarantee.
It's just conceptually, would you support an income tax hike if we could maybe promise some property tax relief, which Illinoisans have been sold that bill of goods before. We've heard it with a temporary income tax hike, which later became permanent. We heard it with tollways. We've heard it with things like the lottery paying for education. These things have consistently failed year after year. Every single time the legislature has these kinds of promises, they just never come to fruition.
Yeah, well, I think that I'm a big no on that one, and probably all three of these. I'm going to talk about the others here in just a couple of minutes, but people can find out more about this property tax advisory, on the website at illinoispolicy.org. Bryce, thank you for your time.
Yes, thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. I appreciate getting him on here because I don't live in Illinois and I don't study those things like I would if I lived there, I think. That's part of the problem. I'm more familiar with the things here in Missouri. They also have a ballot proposal. And again, it's a referendum. So it wouldn't be binding. But if there's if they detect that there's support for it, the legislature will do this. They're going to be asked whether or not IVF and other medically appropriated assisted reproductive treatments should be covered by insurance plans and that cover other pregnancy benefits. So, in other words, it's an attempt to basically curb concerns that, you know, bans on abortion are going to affect IVF somehow. It has nothing to do with that. But you know what's going to happen next. They're going to try to force insurance companies to cover those huge expenses. And I might feel bad for somebody that's got to go through IVF, but that's your choice, mm-hmm. right, at some point. And also, there's a third question asking if candidates on Illinois ballots should be subject to civil penalties if they interfere with, quote, an election worker's official duties, end quote, as some sort of way to intimidate poll watchers, I imagine, is what that's all about. And you know that if it gets a positive vote around the state, they're going to try to push that through the Illinois legislature. I'm a big fat no on all three of those. That'll be on the ballot for my friends listening in the People's Republic of Illinois this morning. All right. Coming up, it is time for Wiggins America. We're going to be back right after this.
Catch anything you missed today by getting the show podcast at 971talk.com.
I'll do paper ballots hand counted. That's it. I'm a technologist. I know a lot about computers, and I'm like, the last thing I would do is trust a computer program. Because it's just too easy to hack. It's too easy to add just one line. And it's really difficult to hack paper ballots. So, in-person voting with ID, which, by the way, every country has. I mean, like, almost every country that has democratic elections requires in-person voting with voter ID. This is weird. It's super weird to not have that. I think that's the only way to effectively address fraud.
Wiggins! Oh! Wiggins!
You know, Ryan, I would argue that not only is Elon Musk a technologist, he's a rocket scientist. And he understands the risk of computerized elections in a way that most of us can't, and how easily it would be to tamper with.
Yeah, it's amazing to me that we're in an era where one side of the aisle yells very loudly and actually sues against voter integrity laws. But also just the conversations that you have, not necessarily in the legislature and in the lawmaking process. The conversations that we're having as a nation is, it's generally speaking, the right is going, well, we need more secure elections. And the left is going, well, no, you need to stop undermining elections. Like they're saying you're just causing everybody to doubt elections. Well, if you're in the camp, regardless of whether you're left or right, that's saying we need to make sure that we all trust our elections again.
Right.
Then why would you be suing against laws that make half the country trust the elections again?
Thank you.
It makes no sense.
I've said it for years that the only possible reason you wouldn't want to know who's voting is so that you could open up the possibility to count as many votes as you wanted, whether they were legitimate votes or not. That's the only reason.
Period. I like voter anonymity. I'm not saying we should try to make voting records public from every single person. But there are ways. I mean, Elon Musk is talking about it. There are ways that we've been doing this for years, and we've not had questions. And, you know, there's always been, you know, little things about who's stuffing ballots, who's making up ballots. But
that's mostly in Illinois.
That's in Illinois.
I just want to point that out since you live over there.
Right. But that's traceable, too. You know, if you had a non-corrupt government that was going to look into these things, you would be able to. So it's all about checks and balances. That's what he's talking about. And that's all that anybody's talking about.
I saw this clip from Kamala Harris, and I'll admit, I don't know when it was from, if it was recent or if this is from 2019. But they were talking about if she would support voter ID laws. And she said something to the effect of, well, you know, some of these people, they don't have access. They live in rural areas. They don't have access to a Kinko's or a whatever the case may be. They can't go Xerox that. What? How stupid the comment was. I mean, that's the only word I can think of to describe what came out of her mouth.
Yeah, like, if you live on the left coast or the right coast, you must think that the middle of the country is just like the middle of nowhere,
like dirt floors.
I'll tell you what, I don't have access to that Kinko's.
Them Kinko things.
You think we walk around with a piece of wheat in our mouth and we drive our tractors? Like, we have access, okay? You don't even need to go to a Kinko's. Why does that? What does that have to do with showing your ID to vote? I mean, you have to have a Kinko's.
Well, that's some of them. It could sound like a sex shop. Like, you got to be really careful. You know, I'm not going to that Kinko's place. I don't care what they do there.
Yeah, we have values.
Yeah, thank you.
You want to hear some voter registration numbers?
I do. What do you got for me?
Well, this is from The Hill. It says that Democrats' voter registration advantage has dropped in three key battleground states: Pennsylvania, North Carolina, and Nevada. Now, these are states that, and actually almost all the swing states, have a Democrat registration advantage.
Okay.
Even when Republicans win, the Democrats have more voter registration. But that is dwindling in at least, Pennsylvania, North Carolina, and Nevada. Now, the other battleground states, Georgia, Michigan, and Wisconsin, don't register by party, so we don't really know what those are. But the gap is narrowing in Republicans' favor in at least those three states that you can track. So I would count that to be some good national news.
Sure it is. And that's kind of how things started going in Florida a few years ago.
Yeah, very true. And very, I think that's actually flipped right over now to where you actually have more registered Republicans now for the first time. Here's another one from the Miami Herald that I'm really excited to report to you today. Former President Donald Trump is narrowly leading Vice President Kamala Harris with early voters in battleground states. Can you believe that? In the 2020 election, 60% of Democrats were voting early by mail compared to just 32% of Republicans. And now in battleground states, it's essentially tied.
Wow.
So that the article headline is "Sea Change Happening in Voting."
Oh, yeah.
Because that is a major, major change. And we know that in 2020, we were all saying vote day of. The problem with that is that then if you just happen to get busy, you know, your kid's sick or whatever happens, and you miss day of, you're done.
Or half the machines at your Maricopa County voting location that's the heavy Republican district simply don't work.
Yeah, or they, you know, in 2022 or 3, they just couldn't print ballots anymore.
Yeah, it's a problem.
All of a sudden, now a lot of people voting. I wish we could print ballots. That'd be great. I wish we would have done that ahead of time.
And I've encouraged it. I think a lot of people have talked about how we need to get Republicans beyond that. I'm going to go on Election Day no matter what, because I brought the ballot in here from St. Louis County. I don't know what the Illinois ballot looks like. Have you seen a sample ballot from Illinois
yet? No, that's why I haven't voted yet, because I'm waiting.
Yeah. I don't know how long it is, but in St. Louis County, there are 43 issues on the ballot. And let's see, 6, 7, 8, 9 of those are either local or statewide amendment and or propositions that take you a minute to read and digest, and you still can't tell heads or tails from most of it because the ballot language is not honest. So for the low educated voter, it's going to take them 45 minutes or an hour to fill that thing out.
Yeah.
And if you get to the polls, and you know most of these polling places have 15 or 20 spots in them, and they're tied up for an hour,
you'll get out of line.
People are going to give up, and they're going to go home. So go early. Please, whatever you do, starting next Tuesday in Missouri, you can vote in person, absentee, no excuse. Mm-hmm. Find out where to do that in your county, wherever you're listening to me, and go do it.
I saw that 500,000 people have already voted early in Georgia, and it absolutely shattered their early voting records before. So I guess before the record was about 136,000 people. After yesterday, 550,000 people have already voted. And to your point, Ryan, you're talking about how Democrats, historically, they have voted early. So if you're seeing this massive uptick, you have to assume that a lot of that are the registered Republicans who are coming forward. And this might be the first time ever for them to vote early. This is going to be the first time I've voted early.
What's going to be the vegetable vote this year, you think, Ryan?
What's the vegetable vote? Well, Explain that to me.
Well, I mean, did you see that Jimmy Carter voted? He's a vegetable. So there's no way in hell he filled out that ballot. Jimmy Carter is comatose.
Yeah.
Every picture we've seen of him in public, he's laying back, slack-jawed, asleep, and his grandson wants you to believe that he couldn't wait to vote for Kamala Harris. So you know somebody forged his signature and filled that ballot out just so they could say he voted at age 100.
We also know that people were going into nursing homes in 2020
And voting, harvesting votes.
Just basically telling them, this is what you're doing.
That, they, people got busted in South St. Louis for doing that 10 years ago. They were ordering ballots, having them delivered, having the people tell them when they got delivered, and they'd go back and collect them and vote for the individual and then send them back in, these absentee ballots. And they got actually arrested for it and charged. So it is fraud, but in most cases, it's never investigated.
So question, that's crazy, but question, if someone like Jimmy Carter, if they die before the election, it doesn't matter, right? They have, as long as they cast their ballot before, by election day, that would count, right?
Or like in Georgia, that's true.
If you die on election day, yeah. Is there any sort of stipulation with that that either of you are aware of?
Well, Mark said it right. if you vote before you die, that counts, except in Illinois. I just thought it was a good joke, and I wanted to say it again.
That was really funny. Did you hear me laughing out loud? It was,
yeah, you were like,
yeah. I would have got crickets from Carl if he was here. Ethan's being nice over there to me. I'm sorry, Ryan. I'm a little addled today because I went to the Blues game last night and didn't get in bed till like 10:45, almost 11. Had to get up at 3, so I'm a little out of it today.
That's okay. I get it.
My joke telling rhythm is off. Would
today
you agree, Kim?
Well, I don't know if I'd just say today, Mark.
That was a slow pitch, but thank you for delivering.
As long as you got 3 hours in you. You know, this last hour, you can just kind of phone it in.
I got 10 more minutes here, and then I can go home and take a nap, which is what I fully intend. I may take a Carl Middleman kind of
AKA
nap today.
AKA 5 hours. Woo! That's not a nap, folks.
Yeah, Carl's off again Monday, so poor Ethan's got to go through all this again on Monday. Can you hang around, Ryan?
Yeah.
All right. We'll get to a quick break here. I do want to remind you again of the event that I am scheduled to attend tonight, and there are still tickets available if you want to go and you like bourbon. This is something you need to experience. I'll give you the details in just a minute. I got sick of my job, sick of my wife, sick of my future, and sick of
the media has begun discussing the phenomena of secret Trump voters. I don't know if you've heard about this. People who publicly say they would never vote for Trump, but then when they go in the voting booth, they do. It's a small group. They're called the Biden family.
Jim Gaffigan, the comedian at the Al Smith dinner last night, having a little bit of fun.
That was last night, yeah.
You know what he pointed out, and Trump mentioned one thing, that he was good to be back in New York. He'd be appreciative if they didn't serve him any subpoenas when he was there. That which Letitia James was sitting right behind him on the dais.
The one that
has persecuted him, ran for office on the promise of persecuting him, was sitting right behind him. And Dan Gaffigan pointed it out at some point in his comments.
Wow, that's got to be weird.
It'd have been great if Trump would have turned around and poured a drink on her head, wouldn't it?
It's just surprising that somebody could. I mean, she campaigned on, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to bring down Donald Trump.
And the whole family.
I don't know what his crime is yet, but I'll find it. I'll make it up if I have to. That was her campaign.
Pretty much.
Why was she there? Why would there not be someone more notable than her there?
Well, she's the Attorney General for the state of New York.
Hmm.
I mean, that's why I'm sure that she had a spot on the dais, all of the big politicians. I don't know if the governor was there or not.
You know what's weird about Trump is that he's got a good sense of humor, but he has completely thrown the whole like late night SNL thing on its head. Because it used to be that the president nominee, whoever it is, would have to go on shows or at least act like, everybody's joking. I know they're tearing me down, but everybody's having a good time. He's like, no, that's not cool.
Yeah.
I'll laugh at something when it's funny, but that's not funny.
I thought this was pretty good. I heard Reardon play yesterday. I wanted to play it for people again. They put together a quick montage to sum up the Bret Baier Kamala Harris interview the other day. This was it.
Donald Trump.
Let's go back to Donald Trump.
Donald Trump.
Donald Trump. 30 seconds. That's all you need to know. That's all she said. Every question, she pivoted back to Donald Trump.
She's making up for all the times that Biden would just sit there and say, wasn't it my opponent? He's like, he did not want to utter the word Trump. So Kamala's just making sure she gets a bunch of Trumps in.
Yeah, I think you're right. Hey, just a reminder, I'm going to the St. Louis Bourbon Festival tonight. It's going to be fantastic. There's still tickets available if you go to stlouisbourbonfestival.com. And they fill up about four or five streets around Limp Hall down there on Limp Street. There are hundreds of bourbons you can try. It all goes to benefit Code 3 Response. It's a fundraiser for that great charity for first responders. So hopefully I'll see you out there tonight wandering around sampling some good bourbon. They got food trucks. The weather ought to be exceptional. So go to that website if you're interested in going tonight, and maybe I'll see out there. Should be a good time. It was packed last year.
Until you said tickets are available, I thought you were just bragging.
Oh, no.
You're inviting people.
Now, you may only be able to get general admission tickets, but that's not a big deal because there's more bourbon than 500 men could drink at this thing. You're not going to run out of things to sample and try and all that. So, and it benefits a great cause.
Real quick plug for Wiggins America this weekend. I have Dennis Prager.
Oh, nice.
That's cool.
Yeah, we were trying to get him on last weekend, and we just ran out of time, and so he will be on this weekend.
I love
one of the most
videos.
Powerful voices. I love watching him go in and just school people on these important issues.
Yeah, it's weird. I don't really get nervous talking to people. I'm a little nervous to talk to him because he's super smart.
Oh, yeah.
And he's good at radio, too, so you can't, like, radio your way through it because he'll know exactly what you're doing.
Well, what
you
is
know?
Radioing your way through it?
Well, that's what I'm doing right now. I don't know what I'm talking about, but I'm pretending I do.
Just keep talking and filling space until you get to the next break, which is what Ryan is discussing, I think, right?
Yeah, that's
is
exactly that what I
thought. Got it. I'll try that.
Kilmeade's up next. I'm sure we'll have more from the interview they did with Donald Trump on Fox and Friends this morning. Hey, have a great weekend. We're going to enjoy the great weather. I'm sure you will, too. We'll see you back here Monday morning at 5 a.m.
Get more at 971talk.com.